Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I'm so grateful to be here. Thankful for the Word of God. Appreciate the Holy Spirit in my heart. It's been just a joy to be in the house of God. I was reading in the scripture this morning where the psalmist wrote, he said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Amen. I don't know. There may come a day they won't let me do much, but if they'll just let me in. Let me in. My desire is to be in the place where his saints gather. The psalmist understood this truth, that there was strength in the Lord's people. That when we gather together, our hearts, when they become one in the Spirit, that we begin to draw from one another that divine presence that abides within all of us. It's not that it ain't in me. There's just times that I need help. There's times that you're the one that helps me. Amen. I could speak it over and over. Travis talking about it this morning in our Sunday school. I draw strength often from the obedience of other of his own. When they testify, or when they pray, when they read from the Word of God, it strengthens my soul. And I'm grateful for his word today. Stand with us as we read. I'm going to try to read again Psalms 119. And we'll trust God just to have his way. Psalms 119, we'll begin at verse number 33. Make sure I got that right. Yep, Psalms 119. I started off preaching a few nights ago and told them to join us in Matthew, and I was preaching out of John. But Psalms 119, verse number 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. God help me. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would direct our thoughts. Father, shielding us from the attack of the enemy, and filling us with your Holy Spirit. We trust that your word go out, and that it find every mark, that as bread cast upon the waters, it will not return unto you void. We thank you for what you're going to do, for the promises that you'll keep, and for what you'll do in each of us. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. I preached the first part of this message some time ago, verse number 33 and 34, which deals specifically with our minds. And I want to say today as an update for you that I'm still trying. I'm still doing my best to let God take over the battlefield of my mind and to win that for me. He said to teach me, and he also said, give me understanding. And I believe he'll do that. The more I'm exposed to the Word of God, the stronger and the more fortified that my mind becomes. Now, I don't want to preach this message again, but in context, before I start on the next subject matter, I want us to be reminded that we need help every day in our minds. We need him to open up to us His truth. That's what it comes down to. I'll tell you again, what will rescue each and every one of us in our minds every day as we battle the things of this world and the enemy of Christ is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that we need in our hearts and in our minds. It's the Word of God that needs to be in us, a great refreshing of well that just comes up and speaks to us and delivers us over and over. I'll assure you today, listen to me, with all confidence in my heart, that this will redeem you. It'll save you. It'll rescue you. It'll heal your mind. It'll straighten out your fear, your worry, and every doubt that you've allowed the enemy to possess or control. The Word of God has power over it. It always will. And it's important for us to give ourselves to God and be willing. He said, teach me. And I hope that we're teachable today. But then he also said, just graciously give me understanding. Now, if God truly begins to work in our minds to create within us the right mind, and certainly I believe that ought to be on our mind when we come into the house of God, the Bible said that when they joined in the upper room, they was of one mind and one accord. How often are we divided here? When we come into the house of God, how often have we allowed the enemy to snare us and we're diverted in our attention and our devotion unto God? And may I say today, that ought not be. It just ought not be. For the children of God, when we come into the house of God, there ought to be upon our hearts a spirit of thanksgiving, of rejoicing, a spirit of mind and soul, that when we come into this place, we're willing to say, God, I need you to shield me from the attacks of my enemy. You see, my mind can be for me or against me. I want you to know it's not persuaded one way or the other until I begin to bring in the law of God and the Word of God, and then my mind can be caused to go in the right direction. Amen. It's not an excuse. I can't use it as simply a byway for me to say, well, I'll just blame it on I was distracted today. No, the problem is I didn't give myself to the discipline of bringing my mind under control and subjection to God. My, we need that. But, verse number 35, make me to go into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Now the psalmist in another place, I believe it is, he made it quite clear that his love, his desire, his greatest delight was in the law of God. But the Apostle Paul clearly shared with us the enmity that my flesh has to God. I can tell you, I don't know if you're honest about it, but my flesh don't like the things of God. If left to myself, I wouldn't go to church. I'd stay at home. If my flesh had anything to do with it, I'd make up every excuse known to man on why I couldn't go to the house of God. But David was willing to say, but my heart, God, delights in you. And I believe he was being honest here. Here's a man that understood what it meant to fail. And he didn't cover that up, and he didn't hide that truth that he had failed. And he had lied, and he had murdered, and he had adultery, and all of these things on this list of hurtful things that he was sorry for. And yet we find him here being willing and honest enough long to say, God, I need you to help me with my mind. But number two, he said, I want you to help me with my will. The will of man is a great thing. And we go all the way back to Adam when it comes to the will of man. God made us different than the animals, you see. He made us different than the rest of creation. God gave man a will. And he allowed man to choose his own direction. He allowed man the opportunity to be influenced by things and others, but ultimately to make a choice. The animals don't have that. Creation doesn't have that, but man does. Man's been given a will. And in that will, the Bible's been very clear that it ain't my will that gets me saved. No, it ain't the will of somebody else that gets me saved. But it's God who calls one from darkness into his presence and allows us to see the truth. It's simply the will that decides and says yes, or I will, or I'll follow, or I'll do. And here the psalmist said, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Now, I don't know if you understand what he's saying, but I believe God can make me do things. I want him to, by the way. I want to yield to God everything pertaining to my will. Yes, I have an opportunity to choose. Yes, I had to choose whether or not I was coming here this morning. I had to choose whether I'd stand and in spite of other things, trying to do something for God. I had to choose whether or not to be faithful to God. But may I say to you today, I want him in charge of everything that I do. And if man has been given a will, may I say to you that it is a very dangerous thing if you allow yourself to be the only one directing your steps. What David said in another place, Solomon actually, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Aren't you glad of that today? I tell you, as the children of God, we ought to be willing to say, Lord, I give up on me because my will, I find often, is contrary to the will of God. Amen. Are you willing to be honest today and admit that my will don't always line up with the will of God? There's things I pray that are not according to the will of God. And the scripture said that those things are amiss, you see. They're things that God ain't going to answer in the affirmative. He's not going to give us if it'll hurt us. What I need us to realize today is that we all have a will, but can we submit that will unto him? Oh, the greatest of examples Jesus gave to us, didn't he? When there in the garden, he bowed before God and he said, Lord, he said, if it be possible, he said, let this cup pass from me. But he was willing, you see, to say in the same breath, but not my will, thine be done, you see. I believe God can help me when it comes to my will, the very thing that guides me through this life. Brother, we need God to help us. We need God to help us. Make me, he said. You say, well, God's give man free will, and therefore he doesn't impose on man anything that man's not willing to. And I'll give you at least in part some of that. But I also read in the scripture where the Bible said that God took the will of old Pharaoh and he made Pharaoh do whatever he wanted Pharaoh to do. The Bible said that he hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the people go. That's hard for some to understand, but may I say to you today that God can alter one's will. You say, well, if God alters one's will, what's the purpose of one's will to begin with? May I say to you today that without one having truly a will to decide yes or no, to follow daily in all of these things, then we lose the ability truly to worship. I want you to know today, we think, and I do all the time, about every time in the mornings early when I hear a bird sing, I can't help it. I just tell it, sing on. Amen. Give him some praise. But then I remember, he ain't got no choice. Amen. He's going to sing. He can't help it. Amen. He don't have a will. Amen. The bird don't wake up saying, well, am I going to go to work or not? Am I going to be good or not? Am I going to worship him or not? No, the bird wakes up every day saying, I'm going to sing. It's you and me that have got the problem. Amen, because our will can go either way. But what the psalmist is saying is as great a power, as great a responsibility of having one's own free choice. The psalmist was willing to say, but God, I want to yield to you that choice. I want to place that choice, that ability, that will, that gift that God has given man to be different than everything else. He said, God, I want you to make me go into the path of your commandments. Make me. Now, when I think about the power of God and the ability of God and whether or not God intercedes or intervenes in the lives of men, I can tell you without reservation that he intervenes in my life all the time. And that when I'm truly sincere and humble and seeking God, he can change my will. And he can change the desires of my heart. God is able to do that. What David recognized was that the battle's not only in the mind, but the battle is also within one's will. Right? Because within the nature of my flesh, and that affects the will, right? It affects the things I want. It affects the things I desire. Those are the things that are influenced by this world and the flesh that I dwell in. But brother, God has helped me with my own will. David said, Lord, he said, I want you to make me. I want you to make me go the right way. You say, wait, isn't that counter to what it is that the apostle was teaching all the while? Right, that we have a choice to make, and that if we'll choose the right way and we'll sow the right thing, that we'll get all. Yeah, and the psalmist wasn't negating any of that truth, but what he was saying was, "Is I want help to make the right choice. Amen. I want you to help me to make me go in the path of your commandments." Preacher, you're putting a whole lot of stock in God. Yeah, I'll grant you that. Because of what I've come to learn is I can't trust myself. I can't just lean upon my own understanding. Why? Because I've learned. Because I've experienced that my understanding will lead me away from God if I'm not careful. I need an influence that is of a greater power. I need something that'll work into my life the extraordinary will of Almighty God. I want to do his will, do you not? Oh, how I want to please him. How I want to do the things that God wants me to do. How I want to exalt the name of Jesus. How I want to bring to others the wondrous truth of his gospel. But the Apostle Paul said it like this. When he had confessed that everything he would do, he didn't do, and the things he didn't want to do, he did do, and all that, he was willing to say this. He said, for to will is present. He said, but how to perform it, I find not. What's he saying? There's a knowledge within me because I'm a child of God that teaches me the direction that I must go. But often in the flesh, when I face the direction and I have clarity about what to do, there is something that wants me to go the other way. What is that? It's the will of the flesh, the will of man that abides within me. When I see clearly the thing of God in front of me, I see his direction and everything within my mind and my heart. It tells me I need to go that way. The Apostle Paul was willing to admit that the will is present. Oh, he said, but how to perform it? He said, I find not. And I simply believe that the psalmist had figured that out hundreds of years before when he penned this psalm. And he said, simply, Lord, I'm going to relinquish my right to will. And I'm going to say, how about you make me go that way? How about you make me turn that way? If Solomon was able to write in that proverb that I've already quoted to you, he was able to write in clarity that if we would just trust him with all of our heart, that he would lead us. What does it mean if he is to lead us, if he is not directing our path? I'm reminded of Flint likes for us to watch Polar Express, right, about every day that he's there, because it's got a train in it. And what's fascinating about trains is they can be going down a track and then the track will split on them. And what directs that train is whether or not the switch has been thrown, right? And if that switch is moved, that train doesn't have but one choice, and that's to go whichever way those rails guide it. May I say today, he may have given me a great will. He may have given me the opportunity to choose right and wrong, but I can also relinquish that privilege and say, you know what? I'd like for you to drive this rig. Anybody willing to confess that you don't always know which way to go, what to do, how to do it? Amen. Fooey on God being my co-pilot. Amen. Let me give you the keys, please. I want you to make me to go in the path of your commandment. What's David doing? He's simply surrendering. He's simply saying, God, I ain't smart enough. I don't know enough. I ain't learned enough. I can't do this. He's simply being what we ought to be, and that's willing to admit, God, that I need you to help me make the right choice every day. And the psalmist was willing to pray to this extent, that I'm going to relinquish to you the ability to simply make me go whichever direction you need me to go. All right? I'm going to scare some of you right now. Now, if we had the opportunity, amen, to do anything, and let's just say that we're talking about a mission field in the middle of nowhere, and I said, how many of us are willing right now to say, God, you make me go wherever you want me to go? How many of you raise your hand? Right? Afraid God might. Right? Afraid he might tell you to go somewhere that you want to go. But here we find the psalmist very clearly saying, God, I'm giving up the right. Right? Now, he was saying it in part in jest, because ultimately the right to choose never leaves us. But daily we can pray the prayer that Jesus prayed, and that is, not my will, but thine be done. I'm telling you right now, we have a problem with our will. It does not want the things of God always. And so I want to be... Really, I want to be in that place where I could say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I know what my flesh wants to do. Right? It wants to bail off in the corner over here. Right? It wants to quit, or it wants to slow down, or it wants to do this. I know what my flesh wants to do, God, but I need your help right here. Amen. Not only is my mind susceptible to the wiles of the enemy, but my will, amen, needs to be moved by the Almighty, that I might go in the path of his commandment. What do you want? What do you want, Lord? Whatever it is, just send me that way. Right? That's hard. I get that. But when Isaiah got to the place that he really saw God that day, Isaiah chapter 6, he saw God. He saw him high and lifted up. When he had really repented, what did he say? He said, here I am. Send me. Send me. What was he saying? He was saying, God, I'm yielding unto you to make me go in the path of your commandment. What do you want me to do today? What do you need from me today? What do you ask of me today? Not my will, but thine be done. He deals with our mind, and then here he deals in verse number 35 with our will. But in verse number 36, he does one more thing concerning our will. He says it like this. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Incline my heart, Lord, to do those things that I need to do. I'm going to stop right there. Incline my heart. He said, Lord, make me. Make me. And I assure you, if you'll get honest and pray that prayer and say, Lord, make me, he can make you. Right? He can make you. You'll find yourself going down a prayer and say, how did I get here? Well, he made you. That's what I want, actually. I want him to be in control of this vessel. I want him to make me go in the path of his commandments. But the psalmist goes a step further and he said, Lord, he said, what I also understand is that in order for me to truly be on board with this, right, is I need you to incline my heart unto thy testimonies. What he's saying was, is, Lord, there may be times when if I yield to you making me, there may be times that, yes, I want you to make me, but in my heart I'm saying, I don't want to go. There's some of us been took kicking and screaming. Ain't that a shame? That God in his infinite love and his mercy will grab our life and he'll just make it go. And we're beating on the window saying, let me out. I don't want to go this way. You know why? It's because my heart has not been inclined. Right, it's one thing to take me hostage and for you to drive this thing and just run me everywhere without my will, without my consent, and God's not going to do that, you see. What the psalmist realizes, what is, if God's going to drive it, I got to be with him. I've got to line up with the will of God, not mine. So he said, God, yes, I want you to drive it, but what I also understand is that if you're driving it and you're going away and my heart ain't with you, that is enmity against you, and I will find in that place no fellowship with God. So there were two things. He was willing to say, the battlefield is in my mind, but there is also a surrender that has to be performed in my heart. In my will, I want you, God, to take control of my life. And I want you to do whatever you want to do. Not my will, but yours be done. But also, I'm asking you to change my heart. That when we take that turn into that area that I had no idea you were going, that in my heart, I see it's him. I recognize it's his power. I recognize it's his direction. I recognize it's his spirit that is flowing into that direction. And that he said, God, I want you to incline my heart unto your testimonies. Those things that you will in my life, that I am asking you to make me follow, I am also asking you to incline my heart so that also my heart is on board with your direction. How many believe that when Jesus finished the prayer, he said, not my will, but thine be done. We read it this morning in Sunday school. An angel came and strengthened him, and he went and checked on the disciples, came back and prayed the more earnest. Lord, if there's any way that this cup pass from me, he said, let it pass from me. Oh, he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what he was saying? You know what he was saying? He was saying, God, make me go whatever way is best. But there was also something he needed in the heart. Not just the will to go, but the desire to go. When Jesus finished praying, he got up, he came and he woke up the disciples. And here comes the mob to arrest him and take him off to Caiaphas. And at that point, Jesus not only had been given the will, but he'd been given the heart. to do it. It's so far beyond what he's ever asked me to do that it's hard to compare the two. But it's what happened. There in Gethsemane, he said, God, my flesh does not want to go that way. And he said, if there's any other way, he said, let's try that. But there was no other way. And there are things in your life that there are no other way. He must take you this way. And we must be willing, right? Not only to say, yes, no matter how I feel, I want you to take me in the path of command, your commandments. But David was willing also to confess that if you're going to take me that way, I need to want to go. I need to be with you in this. I don't need to be just a captive subject to your purposes. No, what he was saying is above managing my will, I want you to make me like it. Incline my heart to see your good purpose as best and right and good. Anybody believe God can help us with that? God can help my heart. That's so encouraging. God, I don't know why you have me on this path, but if it's your path, I want to be on it. But oh, would you do a work in my heart? Would you do a work in my heart that makes me want to go this way too? Our mind, our will. If he'll let me, I'll tackle the last one next time. But our mind and our will, these are things that ultimately he's given charge of us to. And in order for us to truly, come and get a song. Vicky, come on if you would. In order for us to truly find our place with him, we've got to take those precious things that he's given us. We got to give them back. That makes me want to shout. It does. I thank you, God, for such a way as this. God saying, yes, I can make you go. But you're going to have to give me that permission. That's what David was doing. He's saying, make me, God. Make me. God saying, I can do it. I can put my hand on your life in such a way that it directs you in a path that you would have never chose before. God can do that. You know what David's saying? He's saying, God, I give you permission. Because I don't want to go no way that's not your way. I'm giving you permission. Oh, but he said, would you make me want it too? Would you incline my heart to your direction that I might in unison and fellowship with the Holy Spirit go that way with all my heart? Our will is a priceless gift of God, and he allows us the opportunity to choose. Every soul that comes to God ultimately had to simply make the choice. He didn't forcibly save anybody. He doesn't make you be born again. But oh, for the day in your life after you've been born again that you take that wondrous gift of will and you offer it back and you say, not my will, but thine. Thank you for the will to choose. Thank you for the influences in my life that led me to a place of faith that I could even choose at all. Thank you for all of those things you've done to bring me safe thus far. But here's what I'm going to acknowledge. As great a gift as the wheel is that you have given me, unlike any of the other creation, I'd like to give it back and say, Lord, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. Not my will, Lord, but would you make me do yours and make me like it, incline my heart. Stand as we sing. If you're here today and your will doesn't line up with God, it's not right with God. If we're fighting against God, we're fighting against the air. You'll never win that one.